You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's Blue Monday here on the Blue Room. The afternoon before, because Everton finally won. Well, I say finally won. That's our second consecutive win at Goodison Park. It's me and Les with you. Just sort of go over what happened there. To also have a decent laugh about what happened on Nottingham Forest social media, which continues to go today because I've just seen a bit of news about that as well, which will go over as well. But firstly, Les, obviously, you didn't do post-match, so firstly, eager to get your thoughts on the game there. So, I mean, very rare to say this season, but actually, we played the game of footy where we actually deserved to win.
Yeah. It's the only sad thing about it, I mean, it was made up with the results, obviously, feels a little bit too late for a European charge, doesn't it? Just a little bit too late. I think as you said on post-match, it was a very routine win. And I think that's all we've been asking for, isn't it? Against Palace, who was struggling at the time when they came to Goodison, against Luton, who aren't a good side. We've just been asking for just that routine win where you get an early goal and you settle into the game. Well, it wasn't an early goal, but you know what I mean? You get a goal, you settle into the game. Don't look under too much trouble. You kind of beat a team you probably should be beating at home. I think the last time we did that was probably Burnley away. Funnily enough, I think that was the one where we went 1-0 up in that game and we never really looked under any threat at all. I think it was a very similar game to that yesterday. And it was just dead nice, wasn't it? You know, I wasn't at the Burnley game, but I've heard enough anecdotal evidence and seen Sean Dyche's plan of making it uncomfortable for Burnley to know that there wasn't much football played there. But I thought yesterday they did, you know, the two goals were really nicely worked. And they played some good stuff. And it's frustrating to know that they can do that. And a lot of the time they don't. You know, I think Matt Lusk said on post-match, and he maintained this, what all the while I was saying it's the worst team I've ever seen, it's the worst performance I've ever seen, and I was going spare about how they just fell apart at Chelsea. Matt, as ever, was always very level-headed. He goes, it was just a one-off. It's just one of those games. It sometimes happens. I wasn't seeing it because I'd had more than enough of them. Like, you know, just being crap all season, really. But fair play to Dyche. He left out Onana and he left out Garner, which was, you know, he probably had to after dragging them off at Chelsea because they were terrible, but he didn't have to, if you know what I mean. You know, when you've got to play it, you know, as big as Onana and who were probably going to be asking for big money for in the summer. To drop him for that game was a big move. But I thought bringing, you know, just Garner Gay in, he played really well. And he, you know, it's kind of like what we've said about, you know, Seamus Coleman. When they come in and do that job well, you think we really do need to replace them at some point. But while they're there and they can do the job, they're invaluable, and he kind of feels like after that performance, he will be in the running to the end of the season. It was just nice, you know, the weather was all right. it was a nice routine win. It was lovely, and it really did settle the nerves because you kind of thought, like, the way the league's going, we probably just need to avoid getting beat at Luton, though. Barring an absolute disaster of the league saying, right, we're taking more points off you, or, you know, a couple of teams down the bottom going on a mad run and going ahead of us, I think we just need to avoid defeat at Luton, and we'll be sound, though. Because I think a couple have got to play each other. We've got some tough games coming up themselves. Looking at that game, we should beat Sheffield United. But, you know, you never know, do you, what this team's going to do from one game to the next. But, yeah, I was happy with it. It was nice to walk out the ground happy and relieved and seeing an Idrissa Gueye shot from outside the box going.
Seeing one of those shots on target, a rarity in itself, though. Like,
exactly.
Obviously, we'll have a little look ahead to Wednesday and sort of see what the sort of mental side of that is going into a derby when we've won a game and then not doing the best. I know they won against Fulham at the weekend, but they got knocked out of the Europa League and then they lost the home to Palace as well. So the Premier League title's not in their own hands, so we'll go through that in a minute or so. But just what you mentioned there about the lineup, I thought it was quite brave from Dyche to do what he did in terms of Onana coming out, because obviously he's hard push to say, but he's been our best midfielder this season. But then again, that's no real efforts he has to make to do that. But with more to a finer point, I thought of just again putting him in against a side that's quite physical, against a side that has a decent 11, to forest the amount of money they've paid out and all that sort of thing. And to have Gomez next to him, they're two fellas who aren't quick at all.
Yeah.
They're two fellas who I thought if they play through the gap where they are, they're going to have some chances on us. And by and large, that was well controlled. I thought the experience of Idrissa Gueye, a really strange one this season, hasn't he? Because he's been injured a lot. He started a few games. He hasn't looked the same as he did in the year before we had him, after he went off to PSG. It took a lot to rely upon him to come into that game and do a job. And by and large, I think you'll probably throw him towards man of the match in terms of what he did. Coupled with what you said there, him having a shot from outside the box is one thing. Hitting the target at any point in the pitch is the other. And it's a decent effort. I mean, you could probably run and catch it, you know what I mean? The keeper, it's because of how precise it is, really, isn't it? Going in off the post. Otherwise, the keeper would just sort of put his hat on that. But yeah, I mean, that does that give you proof of thought in terms of how we started that game with those two in the sense of the midfield? You know, standards, Harrison and McNeely, other side of them. And then his substitutions as well. I thought it felt to me like something he should have probably done in hindsight, probably done something similar to this in a long time. Add to the fact that he's playing the ball on the floor. It's not, when Pickford gets it, he's trying to put it into the heads of Calvert-Lewin, and that's a given for most teams, same as they were trying to do with Wood.
Just quickly on that, from their perspective, it was quite refreshing to see a centre-forward win a flick-on and have a winger just waiting for it to pick it up.
Yeah.
Because when Chris Wood's winning those flick-ons, their wingers are close to him to pick it up. With ours, Calvert-Lewin, again, is like chasing his own flick-ons.
Yeah, yeah.
And our wingers are nowhere near. It's dead weird. If you're going to play that, it's not hard for the wingers to just tuck in and go, right, one of them, just get next to him because it's going to go that way. It baffles me, that.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting you say that, because it's not like you haven't had a year to try and sort that out, have you, Sean? Yeah. You know what I mean? They're the things that really do my head in about them. And I know that bigger discussion is going to be at the end of the season next month when we talk about whether you want them to stay or not. That's one of the things that I think goes in a negative direction in terms of he should know a little bit more to be able to do that. It doesn't take... I mean, you were talking about it now, we're not Premier League managers. I think it's a relatively simple thing that a Premier League manager should be able to do. Yeah. But with that, what he set up there, dare to say it, and I got slated for this on Twitter or X or whatever it's called these days, Triple X, I don't know what it is these days, what it's called.
Yours might be Triple X,
I mean, I was going to say, but I just put myself right in the middle there, didn't I? on there, as soon as I put it, I had to delete it after 5 minutes because we're getting slated. But Ashley Young did the job he was given to do.
Yeah.
And I thought generally in Hudson-Odoi, who was what at one point tipped to be like the next finest thing as in a left winger, like Sancho, you know, like when you see him from Bellingham, he was put into that sort of position early in his career, and he's ended up there after what he did at Chelsea. But he's still got that talent. He was at those clubs for a reason. And I thought Young, by and large, was quite comfortable, sort of keeping him quiet.
Yeah, I think Young got a little bit of an unfair kicking at the weekend because of those three penalty appeals. I think there was probably only the last one for me that was possibly a pen. The first one, I don't think he touched him. But if you look at that in relation to the one with James Garner the other week, I think it was a Burnley, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We didn't get that. So if they'd have got the penalty for that, it's like, well, there's no consistency there. We know there's no consistency, but I think it would have been harsh on us having not been given one for pretty much the same thing. The handball, he was too close. It's, you know, he's jumping. His arm's away from his body, but it's not like Michael Keane away from his body, right out like catching a bus, is it? It's just up a little bit. So I think that would have been dead harsh. The third one I could see, you know, if that was given, I don't think we could have too many complaints. But, you know, it's about time we had, you know, we had a bit of luck in that regard, isn't it? Have something go our way. But yeah, I think if Garner Gay had been in against Chelsea, I don't think Cole Palmer gets four. And this is the frustrating thing for me about Onana. He should be able to do relatively the same job that a Garner Gay does. You know, and the fact that he's much bigger in stature potentially should be better at him than that. If he can't do that job, he should be able to do the job that Andre Gomes does, where he gets the ball and he invites players on, holds us back to him, holds it up, and releases it. You know, I don't think Gomes was brilliant yesterday, but he did enough in the midfield to make it difficult for them. Because, you know, my fear was that Gibbs White had had the freedom of the park.
Like
Cole Palmer did at Chelsea. And then they've got fast wingers and they've got a bit of pace up front. Like you said on post-match, I wasn't really worried about Chris Wood because that's meat and drink to Tarkovsky and Branthwaite. But those three players, the wingers and Gibbs White, I was a bit worried about them, but he didn't really get a sniff all game, did he? Any of them? I think there was only that one real chance from Chris Wood where Pickford made that brilliant save. You know, if you can restrict the team to that all game, you've done a good job.
I think that's spot on, and I think how used to, and I was sitting there yesterday, last night, when I got almost thinking, how used to I'm since watching Match of the Day too, I was thinking, you know what, have a little shandy while I'm at home, don't have my usual cup of tea and go to bed as soon as possible. Thinking, what's going on here, do you know what I mean? We've been trying to just win a game in a relatively comfortable way. And look, I think it's really easy to throw daggers towards Dyche after this, because in a sort of ironic way, because you're looking at that, you're coming out of the ground, and I would say the majority of fans are saying, where's that being shown? That was relatively simple, what you need to put out there, the lineup, the game plan. Where has that been, particularly at Goodison as well, against lesser sides? And, you know, it's put me in two places now with how you finish this season. I mean, we've just been talking there about points-wise, what we need. A lot of people say you need three more, four more, whatever it is. But I think the most important thing to take from that game, obviously, as well as 3 points, is the fact that he's got somewhere to build on now. And look, we've got 5 games left, is it?
Yeah.
It's not like we're going to sit there and say, this is what you need to work on in the summer and be honest and all that sort of thing. But if you've got 5 games left there, I think he's stumbled upon a system that suits Everton fine and makes you feel a lot more comfortable going into these remaining games.
Yeah, I think my only real criticism of it, and it's like, you know, if we played like this every week, and it's, you know, it wasn't scintillating football, it was functional.
Wasn't difficult, though, Les. That's the thing that gets me.
It was just easy stuff. You know, if we played like that every week, I would have no problem with Sean Dyche being the Everton manager for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Because it was an effective way of playing against the team. We probably should be beating at home, and we did. And that's all we can ask for. You know, we're not going to turn into Brazil 70 overnight, probably not within the next 2 decades. But if you've got a team that just plays well, 6-7 out of 10 across the board, that'll get you enough points to probably trouble the final European place, at least trouble mid-table. And that's all we need to do at the minute. We just need to get, like, steady the ship. You know, we're not going to do a Leicester overnight. Just steady the ship, get to mid-table. And we could do it playing that way. But there's just no consistency with the team. Even the substitutions, like you said, you know, they came on 65 minutes. He's left till 85 minutes in the past during the season. And it's just baffling. I don't know where he comes from and stuff like that. But my one criticism will probably be the width again, especially on the left. Dwight McNeil keeps pulling across. Now, he scored from that position, but he looks to me like he wants to play down the middle now. I'd probably try him in the Corey's position, because the Corey is such a hit and miss player. Like, within 2 minutes, he can do something that blows your mind because it's brilliant, and then misplays.
He's been anonymous since he came back in, Les, hasn't he?
Yeah. So
no, actually,
it looks like McNeil fancies like cutting inside now, because he used to, like last season, a lot of the time he'd get down the line and hit a crossing, and that's he does that really well, getting to the byline and whipping a crossing. I'd try Jack Harrison on that side now, give him a go on the left, because obviously he is left footed and he's never really had the chance to play that role there. Maybe stick Dan Juma on the right. I don't know. And try Harrison McNeil down the middle, because I just think there were loads of times where the left wing area just by their area was wide open. Mikhailenko had the ball and McNeil would cut it, just drift inside. And when you do that as well, it kind of leaves you open to criticism that you don't want the ball. You know, and when he's had like a season where he has struggled compared to last season, that can look like players who want to go missing. You know, if their position's left wing and they're not on the left wing when the ball could be played out there, you drift inside and still don't get the ball. That, you know, that can make it look like you don't want it, you don't fancy it. I'm not saying that he doesn't, but I just think maybe just like shift around the personnel up front just to give it a go. Try something different, try and keep some width there.
Yeah.
I think you said on post-match, didn't you? You know, Jack Harrison was all right yesterday, as was everyone.
Yeah.
And you just think, you know, if you try and maybe on the left, where I think he played a lot of games for Leeds, just give it a go. He might be a totally different player.
Look, I get with Dyche that when you're in a situation we've been in all season, which is fighting relegation all the way, you do sort of try and stick to what you think is best, and you don't sort of look around and think, you know what, I'll take a risk and try that. We've said in the last few shows, haven't we, he has to push the boat out a little bit at some point. The run results we had, you know, his record being worse than Lampard when he got sacked, and people saying he wants to get rid as soon as possible. I don't think that's changed, by the way. I haven't won a 90-odd minute match. But yeah, I mean, managers do often stumble across things, and I feel that if someone in between that he's decided to make this sort of level of change is given that appalling, even I'm not inclined to say effort down at Chelsea that you went to. I'm not going as far as saying, yeah, he's really looked at that and thought, right, lads, scrap that, let's do this. I don't think that's what he's done. But I think when you do look at like changing things up, he's at least done it at the time that should, well, looks like it could be the nick of time, fingers crossed. I want to move on and talk about the Forest thing that's just been rambling on since it happened yesterday. And I have been laughing my head off at this because obviously working on it and listening to Nuno's post-match, which is quite funny, saying like we're entitled to complain and all that sort of thing. Like, all right, fair game. You're entitled to complain. What are you complaining about here? You're complaining about something that has troubled every single side in the Premier League on several, probably more occasions. Ourselves probably near the top of that list for years. I'm not just saying this season, for years.
Yeah.
You are complaining about not getting a penalty decision. That, to me, is exactly why that Monday football show was on Sky Sports News. That is exactly why it's there. Looking at everything that's happened over the weekend just gone, there's the evidence of why it's permanently happening every single week.
Yeah.
And the issues that you've got as well is, this is where it did make me laugh a lot when they're talking about Atwell being a Luton fan in VAR. And I don't know if you've seen the news recently in the last hour or so, where the PGMOL have came out saying that Forrest didn't even moan or make complaints. There's like literally they haven't done a thing to suggest what the issue was, and I think that's great. I think that is like you reap what you sow there. Do you know what I mean? People kicking off, and I think I've seen on most social media that like that there's at least a few decent fans who've said, "What are you doing here? This looks ridiculous." Do you know what I mean? Even Stuart Broad there, you know, I know he's retired, but even he was having a go at it, wasn't he? Saying perhaps wasn't the best way to say it, but it was right. And we're like, oh okay, mate, yeah. Let's put you at the top of the pedestal, and because you were taking 400 odd wickets for England, that makes you the expert on this, doesn't it? But I just wanted to ask you, I mean, like, when you see things like that happen, it's so desperate to do that sort of thing. And you know, the other side of that coin is as well. If you exclude those three penalty claims that he had, let's say maybe one they get or should have got, and I might well get complained at by our fans for saying that. When that happens, I think it's sort of quite funny because it takes away the manager's, the pressure that's on that manager.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking, hang on, we should have had this, means effectively, we shouldn't have lost this game. But hang on a minute, say you had them pens and missed them. You know, what are you looking? Where will he have ever been questioned on the performance of his side there? Which, let's be fair, they were absolute shite.
Yeah. Well, I would like to think that if it was the other way around, you know, we have said at times, like, where we've been denied a penalty and you say, you know, that would have changed the way the game went, the case in point being the Anfield derby, when Beto gets dragged down, you know, we're down to 10 men. They could have gone down, sorry, it wasn't a penalty, was it? But when Beto got dragged down, that would have put them down to 10 men. Now, I remember saying at the time, that would have changed the game. We still may have got beat, but it would have been nice to have the option. He seemed to think that they should have had all three penalties and won 3-2. And yeah. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that. You've got to look at your own performance. If that was us, I would like to think that, do you know what? We maybe should have had one or two, maybe three penalties there, but we deserved nothing out of that game because we were shite. Because they were. They did nothing to suggest that they deserved anything out of that game. As we said, it was a comfortable 2-0 win. And if you're getting comfortable to beat 2-0 by Everton, you really do need to like look at yourselves and look at your own performance, regardless of whether you think you should have got a penalty or three. It was really, really strange from the club. And I mean, just to, you know, I don't want to go dead serious on it, but that is a really serious allegation they've thrown out there. Yeah, that's quite a dangerous game to start playing that, to basically say, I mean, you know, we had it with Mike Dean for years. You know, he was a pains to show everyone how much of a Tranmere fan he was. But as two lads had season tickets at Anfield. So there's still that connection there. Yeah, you know, he's done our games loads of times. And it just happens, you know, you like look down at the Brighton game when they got, or was it the Brighton game at our place where they got a referee from East Sussex to referee? I think it was at our place, wasn't it? You know, it happens. Referees are going to have like allegiances somewhere. Yeah. You're not going to be able to get a load of like top flight referees who support teams from League Two who might never play the teams in the Prem. It just won't happen. But then to really, you'd hope that they would have the professionalism to not let that count. Now, I don't think they do.
Yeah.
But we as fans can say that. We as fans can say, you're crap, you're biased, you fancy that club, you fancy this club, you don't fancy our club. But for a club to come out and say it is mental, because that does leave them wide open to like, I don't know, the Premier League could really go in at the minute for that.
Mm.
And probably should really, because you can't have clubs doing that. You know, it's a professional outfit in a like a professional league worth billions of pounds. You can't just throw accusations like that around. Even if it's true, it's unfounded at this point. You can't do it. But it was dead funny though. I thought when we were walking back to the station, my mate sent me like a screenshot and I was reading it out to my dad. I was like, oh, actually, no, it's a piss take this.
I thought someone
had just like made it up. And then as we get to the station and you start getting your phone signal back, I had a look on Forest account and there it wasn't. Like, Christ, it was true. Just mental.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things I want to add to this. I mean, we spoke on Five Live this morning to Peter Walton. You know, and any time you mention a referee, you're like, oh, him again. No one ever says in this life, I don't mind having him.
Yeah.
Apart from, ironically, not for us, but Delina, everyone used to love him because he had a little slaphead walking around kicking off on people. That was obviously not ourselves for obvious reasons, but he's probably the only one that I've thought, you know what, he's respected by quite a substantial amount of people. There's no Premier League referee you've looked at and said, you know what, he was decent. You know, you don't look at Michael Oliver, who always gets the Champions League games, and Anthony Taylor, who started getting all that sort of thing. Now he'll probably go to the Euros. You're thinking, how on earth he got that position? It's just natural as fans to say that sort of thing. But the he was saying very much the same, Peter Walton, in terms of to question the integrity of a organisation, of a company such as the Premier League, that is so serious to say, in as much as, funnily enough, a side who's just been deducted a load of points like ourselves, but also Forrest have been deducted points for it's used for breaches in financial issues that they have. For them to come out and say somewhere has in particularly gone desperately wrong that we have to complain about it, like the boss said, it was a complaint. That's pretty rich coming from the side that says that sort of thing. And you know, it's an unprecedented thing to do as well. I think, you know, obviously you'll see managers complain and they'll get a fine for that. You see that, well, 10 a penny most seasons, don't you? Seen it happen with Gary O'Neill at Wolves. He's done it quite a lot in terms of complaining, but he get a fine, club gets a fine, you get a card, you have to sit on the stand. That's how it gets. These have gone that far that it's unprecedented. There really should be something that follows that. But the hilarious thing is, and he was sitting there in the main stand. I don't know if you've been watching Gladiators since it came back, but the referee, Plattenberg, is sitting there. He's released a statement himself. And it's just all getting like a really, really sitcom of comedy.
Yeah.
Everything that's happening with that. And it does make you wonder what's next for that sort of thing. Because it'd be interesting to see if there is anything that follows to Forrest.
Yeah, it's the thing is, like, when it's like you say, when it's a manager, the club will generally, and businesses do this, they'll distance themselves from what their employees say. Because it's like, you know, it's a classic thing. You'll know working for the BBC, you probably should somewhere on your account maybe say, no, these views are my own. You see people put that views my own.
Exactly, my
employer. It's like a legal thing.
The first thing you have to put with anything like that, isn't it? This is my thoughts. Yeah.
Then my own views, not that of my employer. But like for the actual employer to come out and like start doing batshit stuff like that, you do wonder what the sanction will be. I mean, it could be a fine, but that's the last thing they need as well, isn't it? And just on Clattenburg, it's a bit rum of him to come out and like berate a refereeing performance at Goodison Park when he hands down gave the worst ever. Like, not it's not even close. That was the worst refereeing display ever in the Clattenburg Derby. He's got a derby named after him. It was that bad. That's all you need to know about that.
Yeah.
But he's got some neck on him coming out saying that, hasn't he?
He must be on some sort of top dollar there, you know. Wonder if he's part of why they've been deducted points, please, on a breach of financial integrity gone down the drain.
I wonder if like when he does like the Gladiator finals, I wonder if he'll get a tattoo with that on his arm as well.
Have you seen? I know that's terrible, isn't it? And it's like he put on his referee thing. I don't want to bang on about Gladiators on BBC, but it's quite funny that he's put the arms on them really, really further up to the top of his shoulder.
just so you see it.
So you can see his Euro tattoo on it. I mean, it's just the fact that, I mean, Forrest, for that reason, should probably go down alone, let alone complaining to the PGMOL and then saying things are unfair and he should have had three penalties. It's bizarre. But, you know, it is funny. I mean, I know our club's all over the place, but I'd like to think they wouldn't go as far as doing anything like that. But you never know, do you? There's still five games left that we don't know about. That's a nice segue into how we're going to finish here and looking at what comes up on Wednesday. Yeah.
Do we have to? Do we have to talk about Wednesday?
We're going to have to talk about it. I'm glad it's only 2 days away because it means we don't have to do our normal week of loads of previews, weeklies and all sorts of that, just looking ahead to that game here. More seriously, I mean, does that performance yesterday coincide with what's coming up on Wednesdays? You look at that and think, do you know what? I feel a little bit more optimistic of what we can do against these. Because personally speaking, I've completely written this game off. And I've got loads of Reds mates, as we all know, are going to say, oh, you're crying it in. But genuinely, I haven't included that game on a list of where we're going to get some points or hope to get the points we need to stay in the Premier League.
No, I mean, you know, as they've had a bad run of results. There was no way they were getting beat at Fulham. I mean, I didn't think they'd get beat by Palace. I don't think anyone did. Because you think they're not going to lose two games on the spin.
Yeah.
And when it came to yesterday, they're definitely not going to lose three games on the spin. I'm not hopeful of anything from that game. And I think it's come at a really, really bad time as well. Being like in between the two other home games that we've got where we look at them and think, well, yeah, we could potentially get 6 points here. You can't, like, I mean, I, you know, I hate to go into expected wins and expected losses, but if you think that's like, you look at that Liverpool game and think, yeah, we should win that, you feel like you're deluding yourself, because there's absolutely nothing to suggest that we should, because we don't get results against teams like that very rarely. Probably Arsenal every now and then, but Chelsea at home, Arsenal at home, occasionally United. Never against them, never against City anymore. Rarely against Spurs. We just don't compete at that level.
No.
This team, and particularly given, you know, the way they've been for the vast majority of this season, there's nothing to suggest that they'll do anything but get beat. You know, you can say Liverpool have fine and blanks. Mo Salah's looked terrible since he came back. Darwin Nunes has got like his sort of strike record is like the worst in the division, I think, isn't it? The fact that the good chances he's had and the chances he's scored. But you always
two fellas who are going to sort that out against us, you mean?
Well, this is it, isn't it? It's the time for Everton meme, isn't it? You know, if you've got if you've got players who are on a bad run of form, there you go. Here's the toffees. We'll put it right for you.
Yeah.
And we've just been so hapless against them in the past. You know, games we should have got points from, we don't, because we implode in some weird way. Whether it's giving a penalty away at Anfield when we're winning 2-1, I think it was Tim Howard, wasn't it? The Mane one where it hits the post and then basically the bounce off the post defies like physics and rolls straight to Mane for the tap in.
Yeah,
the Pickford one, obviously at Anfield. They're just to have your main like City rivals as your bogey team is bad enough, but to be as hapless as we are in that game just makes it kind of excruciating. And I've not got any confidence going into it, I'm not going to lie. And I just think, like as we were saying before, having that sandwiched in between two potentially winnable games, of which we've already won, that could really take the manager's eye off the ball. I think, do you know what? I'm going to keep my best side for Saturday.
Just keep it off. Put the kids out.
Just you know, just don't concede loads if you can help it. But I'm going to keep my best side for Saturday. Now, I think the back four pretty much picks itself, doesn't it? But then you've got the question in midfield. I think Beto's going to be out for probably 2 weeks now, I'd imagine.
Well, he has to stay out by law, I say by Premier League law, it's 10 to 14 days, so he's not in that.
Exactly. So you know he's gonna miss the best part of the end of the season though, so he won't be in contention. I mean, for me, it's all set enough for Big McKean up front. Just do it. Just go. Big McKean up front.
Do
it. You know, you got Calvert-Lewin, who's not firing on all cylinders, hasn't all season. Chimiti is unproven. We've got a proven class goal scorer there, and Michael Keane. Get him in the derby, cause chaos.
You're making it sound like when Gandalf comes back in the 2000s or Lord of the Rings. You just see him over and he's just in white, ready to stroll in, sort things out.
That's what it'd be like. Load him into the ground and everything.
Yeah, looking like Superman or something like that, just slowly coming down, like on the wrestling. Do you know what I mean? Just comes in like the Undertaker on the wrestling or something like that. But on a serious note, with this game, look, I'd be foolish to say optimism sort of trickled into my line of thinking with this. Having said that, they've not looked their best in recent games, and like you say, that we're the place to come to if you need a boost. If you need anything, it's like we're on an ice cream van trying to give it to you. Do you know what I mean? If you come up to us with 20p, we'll happily give you a 99er. This one, though, it reminds me of some of the old-fashioned ones, Les, of the 90s, where we were total shite. But always ended up stepping it against them. You think back to the Joe Royal years, which he was unbeaten. You think back to those late 90s with Ferguson, who'd always have something to say against them. It feels to me there's that sort of vibe in this one, because in each of those, we were always struggling. It was always a relegation fight every season. It was always at best lower half of the Premier League, but not quite being involved in a relegation fight. I think as a fan, you sort of refer back to that and think, you know what? Can you go and do something against a side that's obviously they weren't as good as they are now when we had those results back then? But I do look at it and think, you know what? And Klopp said this himself yesterday, to be fair. He went, this Fitch is just, I just don't want it. You know, this is the one I'm dreading. He said, they were his words, and he said he was dreading this. Well, go make that true. That's the thing that gets me with this. Get in there. Like, and I know it's cliche, really. But just kick fuck out of them. You know, like what happened to Young when we were there, and he got sent off after two quite foolish fouls and a man of experience. Obviously, I'm not saying go that far, but you put that, you've seen it a lot, Les, when you went back to when we were a successful side. Do the sort of thing that'll put the shits up them. Do you know what I mean? Because you're playing against fellas who aren't used to that. The relatively new group of players in there. They're not what they used to be with the likes of Henderson in there, who's, you know, again, I hate to say it, but an experienced midfield player who knows what Merseyside derbies are like. They aren't quite like that these days. I know you've got Van Dijk there. I know you've got whoever they put next to him and Canate, whatever. Look, set pieces again is going to be our main threat. You would think you can't probably go toe to toe with them in what we probably did against Forest here, but dare I say it, I'm as much as I've doubted Sean Dyche, this is a Sean Dyche game. This is the type of game you pay for someone like Sean Dyche to get a result against, and that is going in there playing like you are in World War III. You wish the pitch was full of shite. You just wish that you are in a scrap, and that's what Sean Dyche's career as a manager is made on. And he came into us like, and we stayed up, you know, I'd say quite a lot, 90% probably, because he's like that. He's up for the scrap. I'd like to think this is right in the middle of his sort of comfort zone in the approach to this. I'm not trying to talk us into getting the results here, but I'm just talking about the way in which we approach this game. I just really hope he's not as foolish to think that you can go and do the same as we did against Forest, against these, because they will rip us apart coming in the opposite direction if we step forward at any point.
Yeah, a couple of things there. I think I've probably done having a bit of a disservice in saying, you know, we're completely hapless and we should write this one off, because in truth, our home form against them is not bad at all. We generally draw this game. We generally frustrate them and get a draw. I think we've been beat, but well, Benitez was the hottest show, wasn't it? When we got beat 4-1 before that.
So you think of 0-0 and 1-1s?
Yeah, before that was...
When's the last time they won at us?
Before that was Thingy. It was the Mane one.
So it's 2015,
been 0-0s, 2-2s, 1-1s, 3-3 under Martinez. Spoke about on mailbag. So we have got form for frustrating them. Like the last one we played was Lampard 0-0, when we had that one disallowed for offside and Mope should have buried his chance. You know, and I think they were in much better shape that season than they are at this point in this season. So, yeah, it's on the manager. He can't be naive. He can't do what he did against Chelsea. He can't play like he did against Forest. He's got to come up with a plan. As I said, my only worry is that he could look at this one and potentially write it off in favour of keeping players back for Brentford. But, you know, at this stage of the season, the position we're in, there's no reason why you can't play what you see as your best squad, but best team in every game. You know, there's, what, 5 games left? Was it 4 now? 5 in it?
5 for us, yeah.
4 for everyone else, 5 for us, yeah. There's no reason why you can't just play your best team. You know, there's no point, you know, a player could come in, you could rest him on Wednesday, you could come in and get in the first 2 minutes on Saturday. You just don't know how it's going to go. So I'd just say play your best team for every game you can. And, you know, hopefully he has got a plan to frustrate them, because as sad as it is, that's our best chance of getting any sort of results, isn't it? Just frustrate them and, you know, nick a goal on the counter, nick a goal from a set piece. And yeah, it's, you know, yeah, we shouldn't be too despondent going into this one, because it's, I don't know, we're so used to getting beat in it. If we get beaten, it'll be like, okay, we've been beating the derby again. It'll hurt, but it's like, it's another derby defeat. It happens all the time. But I think we've probably got enough, and, you know, a lot will be on the crowd. It was like the ground looked brilliant before kickoff against Forest. The atmosphere was decent as well, especially when we scored. Again, it goes down to that thing of, I think the team need to get us going for this one. I mean, obviously, the atmosphere first 5 will be sound. There'll be loads of to and fro from both sets of fans. The Everton fans will be well up for it. I think the team needs to start like that as well. Needs to start positively. Not saying go all out attack. Try and get a shot off first 5 minutes. Couple of crunching tackles first 5 minutes. Really set the tone for the game, and then settle into whatever game plan they've got. But yeah, you know, if we lose it, it's not the end of the world. It's a pain in the arse because it's them, and it helps. It, you know, it keeps them in the title race. It's another defeat for us, but just go and try and nick a draw, nick a win. Just yeah, but yeah. Let's fuck it. Let's go into this with some confidence. I'll talk myself around. There we go.
No, I think that's right.
What do you reckon on it? Like going into it?
No, I think what you said there is mostly what I agree with. Sort of talking it into me mind that it's going to be a free hit. And look, any Reds that listen to this or watch this, you're going to be saying, oh, they're just going to say that, like, because they're a gang of shitbags. And because, you know, they'd hate to say that it's true, what we're saying, because they want to big this up as if to say, Everton are expecting to win this. Everton think they're going to beat us. Yeah. That's what they want. But it's the genuine truth that we're like, do you know what? I'd bite your hand off for a point here. But I go back to saying it, and it might sound quite remarkable to anybody who's not a Blue, but it does feel to me like a bit of a free hit, this. And I'm not talking about throwing a load of kids on, like I joked about before. I'm talking about if you get a result, just purely the result. If Everton don't lose this, that's a massive, massive point for us when you look at that bottom 4 or 5 down there. Mm-hmm. And that's the priority for us, do you know what I mean? It's hard to take the context out of this, Les, because it's a derby, and it's, you know, the old cliches, you know, out the window and all that sort of stuff that comes out with it. But I do feel, like I said, that it's got a touch of what it used to be like back in the day. But then, you know, I don't think we've approached one where we felt like there's a little bit more freedom there. By all means, if you go into it and Dyche starts trying to play 4-3-3 and we all step up to the halfway line and get Salah scoring about 5 or 6. We'll all want him sacked about 2 hours after the game. I'm not saying go that far, but I'm saying, you know, the thing that interested me as well against Fulham, they left effectively their two best forwards, certainly Salah, but also Nunes. They started with them two on the bench. They did that for a reason, and I think he hints at that. He might even say it at full time, saying this is not the game that I want to go away at Goodison, because it means so much for both sides and all that. It's not often you get that from him. And I do think that they're dreading this. I've spoke to loads of Reds who've said it, and again, the psychological thing that comes with it with various fans, many of them have said, like, do you know what, this is where Everton throw our season here. If Everton win or draw, they're going to say their title season's over.
Yeah.
And then they were going for a quadruple, and he ended up with one of the worst 4 trophies.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be lovely. I mean, that would be, if you go and get 3 against them, mate, I think that's us pretty much there. And that carrot is dangled there. So it's something that I question more than anything else. It makes me sort of scratch my neck a little bit, scratch my head a little bit, and think, you know, is this the type of thing where everything falls in line and you think we're not expecting much here, but we actually go and do it? I'm one for superstition. But we're probably going to get beat 4-0.
No, do you know what? It's like, even though, like, the way you started off saying about this game, like, we'll get beat, it's impossible not to get, as the game approaches, start getting a little bit optimistic. You know, we've not beaten for 15 years, and it's 2010, wasn't it?
Last time we won?
Yeah. Last time we beat Goodison.
Oh, Goodison, yeah.
It was 2010. So, you know, it's long overdue, and you kind of think, do you know what? Because they, as you say, they will be nervous. They've had some serious bumps in the road. I think it'd be unfair to look at the Palace game at their place and say that's what Everton needs to do, because Everton don't have those forward players that Palace have got, and Everton can't play like that. So I don't think that we can make a comparison and say, well, Palace have showed you what you do if you're the bottom half team playing against them, because we haven't got the players they've got. We couldn't do that with our attacking players. But there's no reason why we can't just play to our strengths and, like, you know, like Dyche said he did against Burnley, make it horrible for them. Just make Goodison Park horrible for them, because this is Klopp's last derby as well. So he'll be feeling that pressure. The title, every game they play now, their title chances hang on each game they play, because they're on the back foot after that Palace result. So the pressure is all on them. That result at the weekend took a lot of pressure off us. So, you know, let's all just go there and enjoy it as much as we can, I suppose.
Yeah. Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. I mean, we'll all be there anyway, talking about this on the post match. I know Les there quite conveniently. He's having a glass of vodka there, just as we talk about the Merseyside.
Yeah.
But yeah, with it being a weird midweek one that we haven't seen for quite some time, I don't think. Certainly not a Goodison. Bit of a different setup for us. We'll have a different weekly tomorrow. Obviously, it's only a day, 24 hours before the game. We'll have that, and then there'll be a further weekly on after post-match later this week, coming in ahead of that other big game we've got against Brentford, the third in a row at Goodison. If we get 3 points there, we have 4 points off these two games, I'd be absolutely delighted. And I think, hopefully not too far to say that we're still in the Premier League, providing no more points deductions and whatnot, or complaints from different clubs at PGMOL about penalties they don't get. We're playing a side that undoubtedly will be doing that very thing if they don't get a pen against us as well. So be prepared for more of that nonsense on their social media as well. Anyway, we'll finish up now. Thanks to Les. That's Blue Monday. And hope you enjoy it. Hope you're still looking back at a 2-0 win, which we have not been used to for quite some time as a regular result at Goodison Park, to see out 10 minutes in a game where you feel quite comfortable. If we're doing it on Wednesday night, it might be a party time if you're getting into town. But we'll be at the Denby again doing the post-match. Come and say hello if you're there. And I'd be saying, Red, stay away, because you came in. I need to make this pointless because it was quite funny. You probably heard an additional voice on the post-match this weekend. And it was not intentional whatsoever. But as always, we go to the Denby to do our post-match and cracking atmosphere. Loads of Blues sitting in there watching the game that was on. Obviously, Fulham v Liverpool, and there was the Cup semi with Coventry and Manchester United. So we decided to stand in sort of just in a little small little group, and it was in the middle of the pub, but it was slightly the telly to watch the Liverpool game was behind us. Weren't so much thinking about it, might, you know, hinder some people who are perhaps watching the game. And if you hear that slight voice, if you've listened to post-match, that is our brand new contributor on the Blue Room, which we will be seeing every single week on post-match at the Denby, who come up and told us that we needed to move, and it was rude to stand in front of a television in a packed pub and an Everton pub, if not, you know, the wrong place to be to go and watch a game for the Reds anyway. No sure what her name is. I'd love it if she got in touch with us. She's more than welcome to come on and discuss the game. She can stand next to us. Oh, exactly. Yeah, she can come and do the preview. We'll get her a nice seat so she can go and carry on watching the post-match or any games that are on after it. I'll even buy her a drink, whatever her name is. I'm saying her name is Elaine. That's what's in my mind. I have no idea. Yeah, that's a good one.
A million miles away.
I know. I was also had a little slight one of like Dot or Ethel or like an EastEnders type of older lady. But yeah, we're always there if you want to come in and have a chat with us and do the post-match with us after that game finishes on Wednesday night. But in all seriousness, yeah, stick with us. Obviously, it's Derby belly already, isn't it, for most of us. And we'll be here with post-match, like I say. There'll be a brief weekly beforehand and a preview as well for what goes on Wednesday night. But thanks for sticking with us. We'll be back for more. And up the Toffees.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.